Thanks very much. It's nice to be here in your Cumnock once more. I think you're going to, you might be getting a bit sick of me because I think I'm coming in a couple of weeks' time as well. So, but we'll look forward to that time as well. Now, if you've got a Bible, I want you to turn to a verse in the Old Testament which is found in the book of Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, and chapter 53, a very well-known passage of Scripture. And there's a verse there, in verse 6, it says this: "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." I'll read it again. It says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Now, across, again, if you've got a Bible, if you don't, just listen, that's fine, into the New Testament, to the Gospel that was written by John. John's Gospel, and chapter 10. And reading at verse 7. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And just look to God to bless the reading from his word this evening. Now, I've come from Auchinleck this evening to talk to you about sheep. Now, I know there's going to be folk in the audience who know a lot more about sheep than I do. I really don't claim to know a lot about it, but nonetheless, the Bible talks an awful lot about sheep. It maybe doesn't go into the ins and outs of farming them or whatever, but we read in Isaiah chapter 53, we read there about sheep. And the verse said, "All we like sheep have gone astray." Now, Isaiah was a messenger from God who came to the nation of Israel and had a message for them. And the message for them was this. He says, look, you're all just, this is what really you should be saying, is that we're all like sheep. All we are like sheep. We have gone astray. We have gone off the path. We are lost. We're not where we should be. And that was the message that God wanted his people. He had brought them up out, and you've heard the story of Moses leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he had led them out of Egypt, and he had led them into the promised land, and it wasn't long before they turned away from God, and they looked after things, they went after things that were not of God, and they really left God behind. And so they'd gone astray, they'd gone off the path, they were lost. Now, the Lord Jesus also, in the Gospels, talks about the things that are lost. He talks about a lost son. He talks about a lost coin, and he also talks about a lost sheep as well. But you know, I was thinking that it's not only Israel who are like sheep, that we are all like sheep. I mean, I read that verse when it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray." I can include myself in that. I really think, yep, I can say that Simon Leach has gone astray. I'm just like a sheep. I'm off the path. I'm lost. I'm not where I should be. There was a time in my life, and I know that there are other people here in the hall tonight, and they can think of a time when they really acknowledged the same and said, yeah, I'm just a bit like a sheep because I'm lost and I'm going astray and I'm not where I should be. And we're not talking about the geography. We're not talking about you know, where we should live or where we should stay in that respect. We're talking about where we are in relation to God. And that's why we have the meeting here in New Cumnock each Sunday night. And that's why we've won the same just in Auchinleck each Sunday night, is that men and women might find out and know where they are in relation to God. And I just want to ask you tonight, where are you in relation to God? Are you like a sheep? Are you gone astray? Are you off the beaten path? Are you wandering into danger and far away from God? You know, it's such an apt sort of comparison to make to say we're like sheep. Again, this is where my knowledge is going to be a bit patchy. I'm going to be found wanting probably, but in my experience, and I really don't have a lot, I've found sheep to be pretty stupid, quite sort of stupid animals. And so with that, I can identify certainly in my own experience with the sheep. My brother-in-law is a farmer, and when I was younger, I used to go up and help him in the farm. And at that time, they had sheep, and you know, he just used to say, complain about the sheep all the time. They're a dairy farm as well, and they keep hens, and you know, they just really didn't know why they kept the sheep, because they were more hassle and they were worse sometimes for them anyway. It just felt like that, and he told me a story, and I may have told this story here in Newcomer before, I don't know, a story about an incident with his sheep and his father, who was on the farm at that time. And David, that's my brother-in-law, his father, they were bringing the sheep in at some point for some particular thing. It was just awful weather, it was just rotten, and they were bringing the sheep into the shed for some reason, but they counted the sheep and found that there was one sheep that was missing. It was just like, I suppose, the story, the parable that the Lord Jesus was talked about when he talked about how he, you know, the shepherd that went and brought that sheep back on its shoulders. I don't know if I would class my brother-in-law as being as compassionate as that shepherd in that scenario. But anyway, so his dad set off went down to the fields where the sheep had been, and it was just rotten weather. It was blowing a gale. It was just pouring with rain. And he went to get the sheep, and he eventually found the sheep. And where his farm is, at the edge of the farm, there's a burn. You wouldn't maybe call it a river, but because of the weather, it was really just full flow. It was deep, and you know, if you went in it, you would have swept away, certainly. And this sheep was at the top of a steep banking, and really it could go no further. And rather than my brother-in-law's father to allow them to come and for the sheep to be taken, to take them back to the warmth and the safety of the shed, and to join the rest of the sheep, you know, there was a bit of a standoff, and the sheep wouldn't come. And Alan, David's father, was there, and he was going to get the sheep. And the sheep, you know, had a choice to make. It could either go with Alan, or it could jump off the embankment into this what was now a sort of raging river, and be carried away and ultimately to its death. And you know, the sheep made the choice, and he went to get it, and the sheep jumped, and the sheep jumped straight into the river and was carried away, and ultimately swept away to its death. And you just think, you know, of the stupidity of the sheep. You know, I know we're talking about animals, but really we find ourselves that men and women, and I can see that men and women, we're so similar to that scenario. If you think of the Lord Jesus, if you think of God as that shepherd who's there, who wants to take it, who wants to bring the sheep into safety, who wants to bring the sheep to take care of it, and so that it's sheltered, it's safe, it's got food, it's got provision to eat. But you know, it chose the completely wrong option. It jumped. It jumped to its death. It jumped to its doom. And I wonder, you know, what decision you've got to make in your life. And you know, we're all the same. We've got the same decision to make as that sheep did. We can either go and be taken back and led to where it's safe and secure and be where we're supposed to be. Or we can jump. And we can jump to certain death, certain separation, certain doom, far away from where we're supposed to be. See, where we're supposed to be is in a relationship with God. You know, we sung in a hymn there about when we get to heaven. And that's where God wants us all to be tonight. He wants us to be in heaven one day. So whether we pass through death, and after death we would be with him in heaven, or whether the Lord Jesus, the Bible tells us that Jesus would come and take those one day who believe in him, who are followers of him, to be with him in heaven, or are we going to just turn our backs upon that and choose a path that will lead to death, a path that will lead to separation? You know, you can look at the sheep and you can think, wow, stupid, what a foolish thing for it to do. Did it not know that there was the safety, there was the soft straw? Well, I'm assuming you're maybe glamorising this a wee bit for the sheep's sake. There's soft straw and some hay for it to eat. Did it not know that that was there? But yeah, it chose just the wrong option. And I wonder what option you're choosing tonight. I wonder where you're headed. You know, this verse says, all we like sheep have gone astray. My brother-in-law's sheep had gone astray. And it ended up in death. I know if you're not a Christian tonight, and that's really what we're asking, if we're looking for people to become Christians, not to join the hall or a church, but to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow him. And if you're not a Christian, then you're lost. you're astray, and you're not where you're supposed to be. You know, God sent his Son, and this is what we'll see, but the Lord Jesus says this later on. He says, he tells us why he's come. And the Lord Jesus has come that he might bring us back to where we should be in the very first place. And so I wonder tonight if you are astray, if you realise that. You see, the thing that makes us go astray, that turns us away from God, is sin. You know, if you read on in that verse, and that whole passage in Isaiah chapter 53, if you've not read it before, read it when you go home. Get a Bible and read Isaiah chapter 53. This was written hundreds of years before Jesus came. And it really just, it prophesies, it tells what is going to happen to Jesus. And it talks about a lot of the things that happened, that were going to happen to him. And this is before Jesus was even came to earth. But it talks that all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, it's sin that makes us go astray. We've turned to our own way. And you know, the problem, the heart, the problem with the human heart is that we think our own way is always the best way. The best way. Doesn't matter what it is. We can, it can be family life, it can be work life, it can be school life, it can be social life, it can be leisure, pursuit. It doesn't matter, you know, what it is. We more often than not think that our way is the best way. Oh, we'll go to people for advice sometimes and we'll listen, but sometimes it's as a last resort. And the thing that characterises this world in which you and I live is that men and women think they know best, they think they know better than God. But here this evening we have not so much a blueprint as a guide. We have a letter from God here, a book from God that tells us really that if we go our own way, it just ends like the sheep. The sheep went its own way, but it ended in death. And the Bible tells me that if we go our own way, it will end in separation and death from God. And I wonder if you're still going astray, because going our own way means we commit sin. And sin is the thing that God hates most of all. He loves us, he loves you, he loves me, but he hates the sin that you and I commit. And because of that sin, that's what means that we're not following God, we're choosing our own way. And when we go our own way, we just end up disobeying God and all his commandments and all his will. You see, God is perfect. God is holy. God is just so right and just. And if we go our own way, we just cannot follow God. We just cannot keep to the path that he wants us to. But you see, we don't need to try on our own. We don't need to go our own way to try and find that. God just wants us to submit. And God just wants us to come to him and to submit to him and say, well, I've tried myself. I've tried to live this life of mine on my own, but it's just not working. And you know, really, when you read through the Old Testament, you read through the Bible, we read again about, and Isaiah spoke to the nation of Israel, and he spoke to them, God spoke to them again and again and again. And the problem was, they kept going their own way time and time and time again. And God took that nation and he put them in the very best of circumstances. He delivered them out of Egypt and he put them in a land full of promise and prosperity for them. And they just kept falling down and they just couldn't keep God's law. And that really just shows that if God gives man a law, man just cannot keep that law. Man cannot please God on his own. And they just try to go themselves and they end up falling flat in their face and they don't have a relationship with God. But God's got a solution to that. You know, God doesn't say, there's a law, follow it. If you don't follow that, then you're scuppered. That's it. Your chances are ruined. God provides a way whereby we are able to come to him. God provides a way where he brings us back to himself, that we might have safety and a relationship with him. And that's why he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is that way. You know, Jesus was telling it in John's Gospel, he was telling a parable, he was telling a story that had a particular meaning, and there were those people there that just didn't understand it, they just didn't get it. He's the door, he's the sheep, and he was talking about this. Is he the shepherd? I thought he was the son of a carpenter, maybe they thought, and they just didn't quite understand it. But then Jesus says, he said unto them, and he had to explain it to them, he says, look, truly, listen to this, I'll say to you what everything that I meant, I am the door of the sheep. And so Jesus is talking, he's shown an illustration, and he's taken sheep and the shepherd as an example. And he wants them to imagine that there's the sheep, and when the shepherd at night, he took the sheep, he would bring them into a pen, a walled area, into the sheepfold, as they called it, And it was there to protect them at night and to keep them safe, similar to what my brother-in-law's got, the shed. I mean, he certainly doesn't take them in every night, but at times they're kept in there for their own good or for his purpose. But the shepherd in the Middle East, he, at that time, he would bring the sheep and put them into the sheep pen at night so they'd be safe. Now, there was one door, there was one entrance into that sheep pen. And usually, you know, sometimes there was an actual wooden door, but more often than not, there wasn't a door. And what would happen was the shepherd himself would get down and would sit in that door. And he, in effect, became the doorway into that sheep pen, into that sheepfold. So if anything had to get in, it had to get over. The shepherd had to move out the way and let it in. If anything had to get out, the shepherd had to move out the way and let anything out. And so when Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep," he's saying that he is the only way. He is literally the door. He is the only way into that sheep pen. He's the only way into that place of safety, into that place of enjoyment, of security. I know it's the exact same for this world. Well, we're not talking about a sheep pen, but we're talking about, the Bible talks about salvation, about being saved. You see, Christians are saved. They're saved from sin. They're saved from a life of sin. They're saved from the judgment that comes because of sin. God must judge sin. He'll deal with sin one day. He'll deal with sinners. And so salvation means to be saved from our sin, from the judgment of it, from God's wrath, to be given peace, to be given love, to be given hope, to be given all manner of things that are found in Jesus, that are found in God, and really to be part of God's family. It's to become a child of God. But in this instance, Jesus is calling them sheep because he's the shepherd. And in those days, the sheep followed the shepherd. Wherever the shepherd went, the sheep would follow. They heard his voice, they knew his voice, and they would follow it because they knew that the shepherd was going to look after them. You know, I want to tell you and assure you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And if you hear his voice, maybe you've, and I don't mean you're going to hear an audible voice coming. I'm not talking about anything like that. But maybe through circumstances of life, maybe through, God can speak in many ways. He can speak through the Bible. He can speak through the circumstances of life and just to you. He can speak through this world. We were thinking earlier on as we were praying about the beautiful days that it's been. He can speak in creation itself, the Bible says. But you know, maybe you've heard his voice and you've got a decision whether you're going to be like a sheep and follow him. Go not astray, not your own way, but follow the shepherd. Follow the shepherd. But you know, the only way to come into the sheepfold was through the door. And the only way to become a Christian, the only way to be saved and to enjoy salvation is to come through Jesus, to come through the shepherd. There's no other way. You know, there's a children's chorus that we used to sing. It was called, "One Way God Said to Get to Heaven. Jesus is the only way." And that's true. That is absolutely true. You can look through the Bible and the Bible will say that there's only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus. Just the same as there was one way into that sheepfold, and that was through the shepherd. So Jesus says, "I am the door." You see, he says that later on, "I am the door. By me, if any man or anyone enter in, he shall be saved." So to be saved tonight, we're talking about to be safe. To be safe in this life, to be safe in the next life, you must come through Jesus towards God. Now, how can we do that? Well, the Bible says that we need to repent. We need to repent of our sin. We are sinners. We've got to confess and say, "Yep, I'm just like a sheep. I've just wandered off from God. I've just gone astray. I've gone to my own way and I've just mucked everything up. Everything has just gone pear-shaped because when I try to please God or I try to do things with myself, I just have quite the opposite effect. I cannot please God by my own strength." And so God wants us to hold up our hands and to admit to that, and to repent before God of all the sin that is in our life. That's what's the first thing to enter in. And then he wants us to realise that if we couldn't do it, if we couldn't please God, then how are we to please God? How are we to be accepted before God? And that requires faith, because it requires us to believe that there was one who pleased God, and that is his son Jesus. And God took his son Jesus, the one that pleased him more than anything else. He said that from heaven. He spoke. There was a voice from heaven. When Jesus, when John the Baptist baptized Jesus and he came up out of the water, the voice was heard. God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And again, God said that about his Son as well. But he took his only Son and he took him to a cross. Now, I know men nailed Jesus to a cross. And I know It was men that judged him, and it was priests that condemned him, and Pilate that condemned him. But God allowed those circumstances. God allowed that to happen. And that was the reason that Jesus came into this world, that he might die, that he might provide a way for men and women to be saved. Because on the cross, Jesus didn't just die. It wasn't just a horrible, gory, awful death that he had there on the cross. But on the cross, there were 3 hours of darkness. And in those hours of darkness, Jesus was punished by God. The one that had said was well, he was well pleased with, God punished him. Not because of anything Jesus had done, but because of everything that you and I had done. Because of everything that this world had done against God. All this, and that's why we read, you know, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord has laid in him the iniquity of us all. The sin and the consequences of it were all just put upon Jesus at the cross, and God punished Jesus for your sin and for my sin. And so that's why Jesus is the only way. That's why we must go through him, because of what he has done. And so to enter in and to be saved, we need to repent. We need to acknowledge that we have gone astray, that we are sinners. We have to put our faith in Jesus to realise that he paid the price. He got the punishment that you and I deserve. And so by faith, what we must do is just to throw our lot, to throw our everything, to cast ourselves upon Jesus. You know, that sheep that I talked about earlier on had to trust my brother-in-law's father, had to trust him, but it didn't trust him. If that sheep had trusted him, you know, it would have led it back to the warmth and the shelter that lay away in the shed and the food and the company of the other sheep. But the sheep didn't trust him. And so what you've got to ask yourself tonight, are you prepared to trust in Jesus? You don't know. You don't know. That's what faith is. Faith is not knowing, but it's just trusting. It's just believing. Are you prepared to trust Jesus? Are you prepared to trust God? Are you prepared to put your faith in him? He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You know, Jesus also talks about thieves and robbers. You see, in those days, there's just as there are today, you know, there were people that came and they wanted to take the sheep. The sheep were in the sheep pen for the protection. There would have been thieves and robbers who would have come and would have wanted to take the livestock from the shepherd, but the shepherd was there to protect. You know, it's just there's a book called The Sheep Pig by Dick King Smith. It's a children's book, and it was made into a film, very popular film called Babe. And in that, it's about I'm sure you've heard of it or seen it, about the babe, the pig who acts like a sheepdog and is able to work with the pig, the sheep rather. And it warns it. Well, there's one day in the field that it senses there's danger, and there were men coming with trucks and they're herding up the sheep and they're stealing the sheep to take them away. So it was no different, you know, from that scenario to then, except there were certainly no pigs involved in that time. But there are those that would come and would take the sheep. And you see, there are those that would just want to take those sheep away from the safety of the pen. And you know, that's no different today. There are things and people that would want to keep you away from God, that would keep you away from Jesus. And maybe there are things, maybe you can identify things in your life that just maybe are trying to keep you away from God. That's just maybe trying to keep you away from safety. You know, there's it talks about thieves and robbers. And I was wondering about the difference about thieves and robbers. You know, thieves are people who steal, but they do it secretly. They do it secretly. They're maybe not open about it. It's maybe done furtively, and it's done before you know about it. Whereas robbers, they come and they take and they steal from you, but they do it with violence. They do it with force. And there's no doubt, you know what's happening at the time, because a robber uses force and violence to steal from you. And that's this world. There are things that maybe keep you from God, and you really don't realise it. And it's things that maybe you perceive to be legitimate. It's things that you think are alright, but maybe there is something, and I don't know what it could be. We're all different. And maybe there's something that's just keeping you from God, and just keeping you from committing to Christ, and committing to being in his family. And I don't know what it could be. And I say this often, it could be any number of things. It could be that things that are legitimate. It can be family, it can be work, it can be
anything at all. It could even be friends. It could even be a church or something like that. Things could keep you away from God and just stop you committing to Him. And those are things that are maybe not openly and are just happening that go unnoticed. And then there's things that maybe that we see around and we see that they're just deliberate attempts, deliberate things that are in our lives that just keep us from God. Maybe there's the open sin, open rebellion against God that would be used to keep us away from Him. And maybe there'd be drink, or maybe there'd be drugs, or maybe there'd be a sort of gross immorality, or maybe just an absolute sort of defiance of God and an absolute sort of atheistic viewpoint of God. And these are things which are not secretly, but there are things that keep you away from God. Thieves and robbers. It doesn't matter whether it's secret. It doesn't matter whether it's something legitimate or whether it's something open and sort of defiant towards God. The thing is, there are things that would keep you away from Him, that would keep you out of safety. And I wonder if there is maybe something tonight in your life that's just keeping you back from God, and we just not want you to be a part of His sheep, to follow that shepherd. But you know, we read there that it says that, you know, the reason they would bring them in that they could be saved is that you shall go in and out and find pasture. And this tells me that there's a freedom. There's a freedom about being a sheep with God, about following Jesus as a good shepherd. You can go in and out. You're not just in and whoop, that's you. You're contained. You can't get out. Sorry, I'm the door. That's it. But you know, there's a real freedom when we trust God and when we trust His Son. You know, there are Christianity is not about following rules and regulations. You know, there is a pattern of life to follow. God wants those that are Christians that follow Him to be holy. He wants them to be righteous. He wants them to be like His Son, who is perfect. But you know, Christianity frees us. Christianity stops us being ensnared, enslaved to sin, and to be servants of sin, but wants us to be a servant of God. You see, sin is an awful taskmaster, but God is a blessed one. God is a perfect one. God is a blessed master who just wants to keep giving and giving and giving. God wants to give us His love. He wants to give us His strength. He gives us His holiness. He wants to give us everything, every blessing He could possibly give us. He wants to give us and to make us right. That's all God ever wants. There's no strings attached. There's no sort of, it's no bluffing. It's not one of these gimmicky flyers you get through your door about free offers and then you read the small print and it's just a load of nonsense. God is genuinely giving an offer that really ought not to be turned down. And it's almost hard to believe. It's almost too good to be true. But He could offer us forgiveness and all this and all the wrong, everything that is wrong in our lives, He can forgive and give to us His peace and His life. To find pasture, to find something to keep you on. Pasture is just what the sheep eat to keep them going, to keep them growing and to fatten them up. It's the pasture. You know, we need something in our lives to keep us going. You know, I was talking to one of my work colleagues, and we were just talking about something about life, and I was telling about another friend of mine who was experiencing, you know, that sounds really one of those things, a friend of mine, you know, and I wasn't talking about me, but you know, I was telling about a friend of mine who was just found himself in some circumstances where they just felt really nervous, and they just felt really anxious, and they almost felt a sort of sickening feeling in their stomach for some circumstances that they found themselves in. And I'm sure, you know, I've felt that in my life. And my friend at school, you know, that I work with, he said, you know, yeah, life's just like that, isn't it? And his words were, you know, doesn't life just suck sometimes? Because you think it should be all plain sailing, and he's just a young man, you think it should be great, but just life just throws up so many obstacles, so many things to deal with. But, you know, the only way we can really deal with them is to find pastures, to find enough. We can only find enough to deal with what this life has got to give us and what this world has got to throw at us. If we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we enter in at His sheep pen, if we are with Him and allow Him to lead us and Him to guide us, that's the only way we'll find enough to go through in this life. And I can tell you right now, categorically, that is the only way that I suppose I've kept my sanity. The only way that I am able to get up out of bed in the morning to live is because I can only find enough for me in my life through Jesus, through what God can offer me. It's His peace. It's His rest, it's His faith, it's His strength, His forgiveness. He offers it all to us enough to let us go through this life for him. You see, if we don't have enough, life is just awful. Life does just suck. Life is just rotten. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ came, because he realised that, without him, we're just not going to have enough to get through. We're just going to go astray like that sheep. It's all going to end in death and in doom. And that's when he said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. Tell me, do you have abundant means more than you've got more than enough? And that's what God wants to do, is equip you with more than what you need for this life. To give you abundant life, a more than life, more than life. That's why he's come. Tell me, do you experience that in your life? Do you feel like that? You know, I talk to some of my friends at school, and they'll be talking, we'll go and talk, and they'll say, well, what did you do at the weekend? And there's just something that, you know, and they'll not talk about going to anything spiritual or anything about going to church or going to a hall or a meeting like that. They'll just miss that out, and there's something missing in their life, and they're looking and they're trying to jam-pack their life with so many other different things just to find an abundance of life, but they don't. They just find an emptiness. And maybe they'll go out and maybe there's other people and they'll just try and drink themselves into oblivion at the weekend just to have some meaning and some purpose in their life, or where they're going to get their next score from. And there's so many things, or where they're going to put their money in, or how they're going to do up their house, or how they're going to go on their next holiday. And men and women just try and cram things into their life, and they're just not content, and they just don't have enough, and they're just not living abundant. That's proof that they're not living abundant lives. But when you've got God, and when you've got Jesus, he says, that's why I've come. That your life might actually have an abundance about them. That your life might actually have the purpose for which it was meant. Meant for a relationship with God. Meant for a relationship with the Good Shepherd. And then he says, you know, this is why we can trust the Good Shepherd. He says, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He lays down his life. Jesus laid down his life for the sheep. He laid down his life for you. My brother-in-law's father, he didn't jump into that raging river after the sheep. He wasn't going to risk his life for just one sheep. But here we have the Lord Jesus Christ, who looked at a world full of sheep gone astray, who looked at a world full of sheep who had committed sin and who were far off from him, and he says, I love them. You know, they're really stupid, they're really wayward, they're choosing the wrong option time and time again, but I love them. They're mine. And I'm going to provide a way for them to come back to me. And I'm going to provide a way for them that they'll have meaning and they'll have it. I'm going to give them the life that they really were meant for. And how are you going to do that life? You can ask Jesus, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to lay down my life because I love them. And he willingly laid down his life outside Jerusalem on a cross so that you and I might have abundant life, that we might be saved, that we might go in and out and find pasture, we might find food enough to eat for this life and for the next. And so that's really all I've got to say tonight about sheep. But I just would ask that you would consider, are your sheep going astray? If you are, just confess to God that that's the case, that your life is not right before him. You're going off the beaten track. And just to realise that the only way to be saved for certainty, for safety, is to trust, to come through Jesus, to come to him. And that the reason he came is he's come that he might bring abundant life, might give abundant life. And that we can trust him. How can we trust him? Because, well, he laid down his life. The Good Shepherd laid down his life for the sheep. Jesus has laid down his life for you. He's worth trusting. He's worth believing because he loves you. And he wants to give you abundant life. Life that you deserve. Life that you were made for by God. Now, we'll just pray to you. Our God and Father, we just come before you now. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for this incident in the life of our Lord Jesus, where he could explain to others that he was the Good Shepherd, and that the Good Shepherd does indeed lay down his life for the sheep. Our Father, we thank you for those of us here who have enjoyed that, have experienced that, who have come to Jesus knowing that he willingly loved us and gave his life for us. But Father, we just pray for any in the meeting tonight who are not yet Christians, who are not yet followers of our Lord Jesus, who are not yet, our Father, as it were, sheep. And Father, we just pray they might realise that Jesus does love them, and Jesus did lay down his life for them, and that he is the only way indeed in which they can be saved and find safety and abundant life. So Father, we just ask now for your blessing. We ask you to move for your own glory and for your own purpose as we just commit ourselves now to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.